Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Earlier this week, Claire Tippins shared a princess nickname generator, 3 pictures of her dog wearing a tutu, and 2 online quizzes, including, what candy is your dream castle made of? Claire, your sharing has tipped the sugar scale and turned into oversharing. But have no fear, princess. Geico has something worth sharing with your internet kingdom, like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance just by visiting geico.com. No magic wand required. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
With Belinda Gale on Equestrian Legacy Radio. Heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I am so glad our trails have crossed. Oh, the joy you bring to me. And as I look upon each face, such kindness there I see. I wish for you the love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Our trails now go their separate ways, and life goes rolling on. I hope our trails will cross again before God takes us home. We share the wondrous love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Yes, as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Blessed trails.
Welcome to Blessed Trails. I am your host, Belinda Gale, and our show features interviews with wonderful guests, as well as gospel and patriotic music and songs that just plain lift your heart. Most all of them with a definite Western flair. Today's guest is an award-winning real deal cowgirl who has lived and worked on ranches in various parts of the West her whole life. She is as fresh and uplifting as her music, and I can hardly wait for y'all to meet her. But first, let's listen to her song, Middle of Nowhere.
Last night I watched the most amazing sunset, purple lining on the clouds. White lightning raced across the Rattlesnake Ridge, thunder crashing loud. Riding along, just the old coyote and me, there goes a mountain hare. Checking water troughs on the Pioneer Trail, sage and cedar in the air. Weed out the greenhorn from the hand. raggedness over in a softened land. Wolf and the buffalo and me. Just give me my horse and a good fitting saddle. Set my spirit free.
I just love her voice. I have no idea how this young woman juggles her life. She works side by side with her husband on a working cattle ranch in Nebraska and is a wonderful mother to four children. That in and of itself is a full-time career, but on top of all this, she is pursuing a blossoming career in Western music as a singer-songwriter. She has already received so many nominations in recognition of her work and recently received the prestigious Western Music Association Award for Song of the Year. But what is most special to me is that true to her cowgirl roots, with all her mounting accolades, this lady is just as sweet and real and down to earth as they come. I am so proud to welcome to our show my friend, Trinity Seeley. Hi, Trinity.
Hi, Belinda. Thank you so much. I am just honored to be on the show and appreciate it so much.
Oh, well, we are so glad you could work us into your busy schedule. I think you're calling us on the go on your way to a gig, if I heard you correctly when you called in.
That's right. Yep, that's right. We're on the road with my three boys to Eureka, Nevada.
Oh,
to the
my
opera
goodness.
House.
Well, good. They're going to love you there. I just know they will. That's so cool.
There's some
gosh.
Good folks down there. Cool, neat,
yes, there
neat
are.
Old mining town.
Yes, it
for
is.
Sure.
Kind of fun to drive through that thing for sure. It is. It is. I've been there, and it's a neat old opera house. I just love it. Well,
yeah.
Well, you knock a bed there. I know you will.
We're gonna go and just have a good time. That's for sure.
It's neat that you get to take your boys with you. That's fun.
It is. It's not always easy, but it's. You know, it's a good experience, and we don't get a whole lot of exposure to people all the time. We have large amounts and small amounts of time, so it's good for them, and they like it. They, in fact, today when we were packing the car up, both my little boys came out with their swimsuits on, and they wanted to get in the hotel car, they said.
Oh, the hotel car. Oh, that's so cute. Oh, gosh. Well, I want to back up a little bit, Trinity, and talk a little bit about how you grew up, because you had not a typical childhood, and it wasn't even a typical ranching childhood. You actually grew up on a guest ranch, so I know our listeners would love to hear about that.
Oh, you know, that is a whole story in itself, but I have the most amazing parents, and when they got married, my mom made my dad promise that he'd raise us kids with horses, and he said, that's fine, as long as you promise me we can raise them in the middle of nowhere. So they they moved to northern British Columbia, Canada, and we ran this whole operation just with our family. My dad flew the float plane, and my sisters and I did the trail rides and the dude string, and at night, my mom made us these matching aprons. We'd come in from unsaddling horses and throw those aprons on and serve dinner, and it was just a fantastic way to grow up. We learned how to work hard and work together, and some of the most treasured times in my life, for sure.
Oh my gosh. So when you started with the horses fairly young, at what age did you start taking the dude strings out?
I started trailing everybody. Well, not a real important job, but I was probably six or seven.
Wow.
I started to do that. So I have a sister that's 3 years older than I am, and we had about 32 horses in our string at one time, and we get up, saddle everybody up, and that's what we did. We spent most of our days on those horses, and we loved every minute of it. I mean, it was quite the growing up.
It was. And for those listening, maybe that aren't familiar with what a dude string is, you want to explain what that is?
Yeah, just depending on who was there, we had people from Europe come over just to experience a little bit of the Western lifestyle, to repeat families that would come up and spend a week there with their families, and we'd take them, you know, most of the time it was a 3 or 4 hour trail ride. Sometimes they were day trips. We'd pack into Miner's Lake cabin there and just kind of experience that Chilcotin country of British Columbia, which is just amazing. It's full of jack pine and glaciers and lakes and just a beautiful place.
Sounds gorgeous. So a dude string is a bunch of dudes that come to experience the West. But you get to put them nose to tail and take them on a trail ride, right?
That's right. Yep. For the most part. And you'd be surprised how many would come that did know how to ride, that just thoroughly enjoyed themselves. So always a good time. You know, we'd get so attached to these horses, though. We raised them and trained them ourselves. And there were times that we'd just start crying, you know, so-and-so's got to ride Mariah today. Or we got pretty attached to those horses. Yeah.
That's easy to do. So what was schooling and church like for you, being way out in the middle of nowhere?
Well, growing up, we had church in our living room for about 18 years that I can remember. And we were pretty isolated out there. We were about 150 miles from Williams Lake, which was the nearest town that you could go get groceries and stuff in. And quite the historic road, Highway 20, heads west from Williams Lake, clear out to the coast there to a little town called Bella Coola. And it was just a very isolated, remote way to live until summer, when everybody would come out to visit. It's a pretty neat, pretty neat place.
Wow. So were you homeschooled?
We were off and on. They ended up building a really neat log community school in Tala Lake. I believe I was in seventh or eighth grade when they built that. But we also attended younger years too. They had a little mobile trailer that all the kids would come in from, you know, about 100-mile radius. And we had, by the time I left that school, I was in 10th grade, and we had about 30 kids from the grades of kindergarten through 10th grade. So it was, you know, a very small school. My parents, they did a great job kind of filling in all those gaps. And, you know, just like anything else, you make do with the situation that you've got and just do the best and pray it all works out. So, but we learned how to live isolated. I mean, when you went to the grocery store, you really stocked up and were prepared when you went into town. You'd think I'd learn from growing up that way, but man, I still come in from these town trips and think, oh, I forgot to get this. So
I can appreciate that. So I'm curious, growing up with your folks, you know, basically having church in your living room with your folks, obviously, you know, leading that. Was that just something that you guys, you know, had once a week that you did, or was this something that really kind of filtered through the rest of your life, the rest of your days of the week as well, or was it just something that you guys did on like Sunday?
Well, we had held our church service on Sunday, you know, and then we'd have our scripture readings and stuff in the mornings. Sunday was always the day that we tried to kind of rest from all our duties and enjoy each other. But we'd each prepare a little talk to give, and my dad played the piano, and we just, it was a very special experience.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So not your typical
no
church, but
not at all. But church is church, where two or more are gathered together, right?
that is exactly right, and that's what my folks always said. You know, there were days when we were busy taking care of animals and people till 9 or 10 o'clock at night, and we would still sit down and have church, even if it was, you know, super late at night. They were phenomenal examples of just doing your best, always trying to do your best.
Wow.
And I appreciate that.
Well, I know growing up for me, there was, I mean, always an awareness of God and who he was, but there was a point in my life where he went from being the God out there, you know, that watches over us or is going to get onto us when we do bad. My mom really liked to do that bit, you know, he's watching us, he knows when we misbehave, kind of thing, to really understanding that he is within me and lives within me. And I have, you know, I have the opportunity to have a real and personal relationship with him. Can you share with us when that happened for you?
Yeah. You know, it's growing up that way and in an environment where you're just surrounded with all of his creations, you're reminded several times a day, you know, of his presence and his role mm-hmm. in your life. But personally, you know, I think as I grew up, I remember praying every morning with my folks for safety and for protection, because we were so far out from anything mm-hmm. that if we got up and didn't have that prayer, I remember specifically just thinking, oh gosh, you know, we better be really careful today. So, you know, I think I was probably about 12 or 13 when I started to realize that, you know, this relationship that we do have with our Heavenly Father and his very personable, what is the word? At a loss for words. He just cares so much about each of us and our situations and circumstances. And I remember several times being out, you know, in the wilderness on these horses, and you come to a situation that you need that extra help and guidance, and just remembering that he was there and knowing that comfort has just always been a big part of my life. But I was probably about 12 or 13, kind of just the point where you're maturing enough to realize where that relationship takes place in your life.
Mm-hmm. That's a sweet epiphany, isn't it, in our lives, to understand that big, big God can actually be in within us. I thought, I mean, it was mind-boggling to me when I was young.
It is.
So that's so cool. Well, horses, and obviously they're important to your mom. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, you're okay. Keep going. I'll interrupt you all day if I get the chance.
Oh,
so
no.
Just keep going.
This is about what you have to say, not about what I have to say to me. So.
Well, I don't want to take us off this trail, but,
no,
you know, looking at my children now and the circumstances that they're being raised in, and especially springtime, we're out there in a part of the country where everybody is so focused on being a steward over his creations, and so everybody has this like-minded thought process going on. And to watch my kids go out there and feed these bottle calves, and, you know, watch their dad out there working hard to take care of, you know, of his creations, I feel so blessed that they're able to see at, you know, at this early of an age. And it might not be so personable right now for them, but it is, you know, it is very apparent in their lives that, you know, here's all these like-minded people knowing that there's a God, knowing that these are his creations, and we have a responsibility to be stewards over his land. I think it's a neat thing.
Well, it's laying a wonderful foundation. It's a wonderful foundation for your children, and that's when they're given that foundation, then that carries them through life. So you're giving them a great foundation, Trinity. That's awesome. Well, what I was starting to say was that you, your mom was obviously horse lover. When did you raised with horses, and you are a horse lover? And so I was really intrigued to read about your choices. You went off to boarding school and where you went and what that was all about. So please tell us about that.
You know, that was one of those things in life where it wasn't planned. I mean, that was not the road that we had laid out or even thought about. But once I graduated from this little community school after 10th grade, all these rural kids would bus into Williams Lake, and they would board there for the week and then come home on the weekends. And that never just felt really right, I guess, for me. That wasn't something that I thought about doing a whole lot. And then there was a family that lived it took about 2 hours to get to their house, the Fosters. And Walt and Carol had run the horse program at the Thatcher School in previous years. And they had three boys that my three sisters and I, we grew up just in love with these boys. They were good looking and hardworking and smart. And you know, this family was just so neat. And so when I got to that point, all their boys had gone to Thatcher. And Jake, who is my age, he went as a freshman. And so here I was, a junior. Most of the kids at the Thatcher School go in their freshman year. And so Carol said, you know, why don't you see if Trinity can get into Thatcher and go ahead and apply, and that would just be such a neat opportunity. And so, you know, we kind of took a leap of faith and put in an application. And it's not a super easy school to get into. They've got some very high standards, especially with their curriculum. But I think they loved the fact that I was horse crazy. And this is a horse school. It was founded back in the 1800s, you know, on the principle of that the outside of the horse is good for the inside of a boy. And so part of their curriculum was this riding program that was absolutely amazing. And I was lucky enough that they let me bring one of my own horses down to the school. And that was just such a comfort to me. I'd spent all this time with my family and then just kind of uprooted me and sticking me in California. It was quite a culture shock, but it was a neat, very neat program. All the school buildings and outbuildings and the horse barns, everything was kind of an old Spanish adobe style. Mm-hmm. And then their riding arena was just a big open field, pretty much.
Wow.
And the directors over that program were they were so good to the kids, you know, teaching you at whatever level you're at. And so, you know, I spent a lot of time in those 2 years there just really connecting with the horse, with myself, kind of learning a lot about who you really are and what you love and aspire to be. Well, very neat school.
That sounds like a wonderful opportunity. And I would like to go ahead and go into a song now that you've written. And for people that don't understand what a cricket is for a horse, you want to set this song up a little bit and explain what that is?
I will. So in a traditional vaquero bridle on the bit, there's going to be most of the time, not all the time, but there's sometimes a copper roller on the top of the bit, and that is the cricket. And the point of the cricket is, especially where most of the time it's made of copper, is it keeps the mouth salivated and moist, and it really just helps relax the horses. And when they roll it, it makes this beautiful sound. And I've written that song, you know, in a very short amount of time, one of those songs that just comes to you through a feeling, and definitely a feeling that I had of a place where, you know, I felt so much solace and peace. And so we went ahead and recorded this. I wrote it while we were in the process of recording Old Polly Rope. And after we had recorded it, we had attended the Carol Horsemanship Clinic taught by Jeff Sanders. And he recommended a book to my husband, and it's called These Are the Vaqueros, written by Ronald Rojas. And Jeff read this book in 3 or 4 days, and just he handed it over to me, and he said, "Honey, you've got to read this. There are just some great stories." A big collaboration of the old-time California vaqueros is what it is. And so I sat down and started reading this book, and one of the first stories that I read was about this old vaquero, and he'd reached the point in his life where he couldn't get up and ride out with the guys anymore. But it said that he would still go and he'd catch his horse and he'd groom him and brush him out till he was just perfect. And he'd saddle his horse and get everything hung on there just right and put his rope on his saddle. And then it said he'd bridle up his horse and he'd lead him over to the lawn and he'd sit back and listen to his pony's cricket roll. And when I read that, I it gave me chills. And I just wanted to bawl to think that this was written. The book was written in the 1940s, and I believe this story took place, you know, in the really late 1800s. And I thought, you know, for 100 years plus, people have gotten the same feeling. You know, horses have just fulfilled so much for people for so long that, it was just a neat connection, a very neat connection. So that's what a cricket is.
Well, that's neat. Well, let's listen to your song, Cricket Roll.
Rolling off green pastures to where the sagebrush meets the pine, we'll do our bidding to the land we'll leave behind. Welcome in the highlands and the summer day so long, little piece of heaven sitting on the cowboy's throne, looking for the solace in my smile as I listen to my pony's cricket roll. From the misty haze of twilight, when the night horse rings her bell, roll it up, saddle up and hit that loving trail. Ride off towards the mountains and the snow-capped covered peaks, hoping that beyond the pass you're waiting there for me to put an end to this long and lonely road. Smile as I listen to my pony's cricket roll. Of Nevada to the streams in Idaho, paradise to Cami High, these trails all lead you home. And I'm through with days of wandering, so I'm coming home to stay. The only view I need is looking through the ears of that old bay, waiting for the solace in my soul. Smile as I listen to my pony's cricket roll. I found the solace in my soul. Smile as I listen to my pony's cricket
roll. Oh, I hear children laughing.
Well, he's crying, actually.
Oh,
they are troopers, I'll tell you what.
Troopers, mom in action here.
They're in good shape now, though.
Oh, good, good. Well, that's a great song, Trinity. That I can just, I can picture all of it. That was a wonderful, wonderful song. One of the things that I thought was really curious with the Thatcher School is not their big their emphasis on horsemanship, but also on music was required. So I thought that was really cool. So is that where your love of music was born?
Yeah, yes, and I had so much support there at Thatcher, and I started playing the guitar a little bit before I left home to attend the Thatcher School, and so I kind of had that background, and I remember just pulling that guitar out so many times, you know, when I was missing my folks, or I'd learned something cool, or, you know, all these times that I wanted to express myself, and so I think in a big way, that is where I found that outlet for myself. Here's a way that I can go ahead and express myself in just a few short minutes. But their music program was just phenomenal. Gregory Haggard was my music teacher. I took choir and then also was in an a cappella group, if you can believe that. Did a little doo-wop. we had a blast. Had a good time, but so many of the other faculty members there were also musically inclined and played different instruments. And there was a gentleman there that really influenced me a lot in my life. His name was Chuck Warren. Mm-hmm. And he was an inspiration, not just with my music, but just, you know, just in life in general. He was also my vet med teacher and the physics teacher. He played the steel guitar. He has now since passed, but he really took me under his wing and just said, you know what, here's what you can do with this and go for it.
Wow.
He spent a lot of time. My senior year, they have the seniors do what they call their senior project, and each student will pick something they want to spend that year studying. And then they do a big demonstration of that project at the end of the year. And Chuck took me all over California. My project was on natural horsemanship and colt starting. And so we took this colt and just went from one place to another, Monty Roberts and Scott Weiss and, you know, reining trainers, just kind of checked it all out. And then he'd support me in my little music endeavors. And on my final grade that he wrote out to me before I graduated, he said, I don't know if you'll have a career in vet med, but I think you should pursue your music. And I'll never forget that, you know, just to know that he felt that was, you know, something that I loved and something that I should pursue. Mm-hmm. And so I'll never forget that.
So he saw the gift there and was encouraging you to pursue that gift. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, very.
It's neat having those teachers that we can look back to that kind of were instrumental in skewing our lives in one direction or another. I think teachers underestimate how much power they have with children.
Oh, they do. They do. And that, you know, that was one thing that was so neat about that school was most of the faculty members lived right there on campus. And so if you needed help with your homework or with an English paper, or, you know, anything, you could just walk up to their house and the classroom sizes were small. You just had such a neat relationship with these teachers. It was such a neat experience, opportunity for sure.
Neat. So then you graduated from Thatcher School, went on to college, and then some good-looking cowboy entered your life.
Oh, that's a whirlwind and a blur for me, that whole whole time in my life. And you'll laugh at this. I had a music scholarship. I went to UVU, Utah Valley University, there in Orem, Utah. And I had a music scholarship, half a music scholarship. And I was taking one of my health core classes. And I had gotten to class late and they were running the mile and a half. And the coach said, just go ahead and start running. And so, of course, me, I thought, oh, well, I can catch up with everybody. So I ran as fast as I could to try and catch up with everybody. And when I finished that mile and a half, they had the cross-country coach waiting there. And, and he recruited me onto their cross country team. He said I broke the school record, and they were going to pay for the other half of my school. So, kind of a little twist there that most people probably wouldn't guess. I love to run. I still do. Still love to run. So.
Oh my gosh! All you were trying to do was catch up with the rest of the class. You had no idea, huh?
That's right. Yep. I ran cross country in high school there at Thatcher, and so I knew, you know, this might hurt a little bit, but I can get through it. So, oh, kind of funny. But I don't know if you knew this, Belinda, but I was married previously, and that
I did
is
not
where
know that.
I met my first husband, and we went back up to Canada, and that's where my daughter Catherine was born. She is our Canadian citizen. But when I went into labor with Catherine, we were still 3 hours from town, and we called our neighbor who had a helicopter business, and he came and picked me up and flew me into town. But the hospital didn't have a landing pad, so they had to land at the vet clinic, and the vet took me to the hospital. So kind of a big adventure for having your first child. But Jeff and I met in Nephi, Utah, and he is just the sweetest guy. He was out taking care of his mom's lawn and feeding the horses, and I thought, you know, he's there taking care of his mom. I bet he'd do a pretty good job taking care of me and Catherine too. And that's just the way he has been since day one. He's still the sweetest, most caregiving person I know. He's just a blessing in my life every day. My best friend, and you know, I don't know if everybody could work together with their husbands and wives all day long and still get along and sleep in the same bed, but we do.
Uh-huh. That's good.
Yeah. That is good. But he's a great, great man. We met there in Nephi, Utah, after we got
different
married,
ideas we about together. How fencing needs to happen. And so she said, we just don't fence together. We just go work on it separately. So
that is funny, because there are projects that you come to know that, yeah, you could probably do this one by yourself.
Yeah.
for sure. And I think, you know, you kind of, as a ranch wife, you have to become an independent thinker, because there are so many times and situations that you get out there and you think, okay, he told me to do this, but it looks like I should probably do this. So right. I better go ahead and do what I think. And so you do, you become this independent thinker and worker. And so, you know, it's funny when you both get out there, because nobody thinks alike and everybody's got a different idea of how to do things. And so you learn to voice your opinion probably more than you should, but you know, that's just part of the lifestyle and the culture. And looking around now as I get a little bit older, some of these ladies that I've admired for so long, they are these just independent rocks. They are strong, caring, you know, they're kind of the whole package. They're just ladies that I idolize. Miss Jan Wood, she's one of those people, and she's a great mother, raised up these kids, and she told me not too long ago, she said, you know, you might be taking care of these kids now, but it's them that's going to be helping you off and on your horse here in about 20 years. And I thought, you know, that's pretty true. Pretty true. But.
Yes. Oh, that's true. Yeah. You can't, I mean, when you really make that investment in your children, you know, people that let daycares and everybody else raise their children, they just don't realize what they're missing out on. Just what a pressure those little ones are, for sure.
They are, and it's a blessing that I get to be with them so much. And I know there's a ton of people that would love, you know, would love to be with their kids and raise them.
Right.
And I don't have that opportunity. Right. And every day, even the hard days, I try to remind myself that this is a blessing.
It is a blessing. And I do understand there are people that just don't have a choice. You know, they have to, they need the two incomes for, to make their ends meet. And so the people that it is such a blessing to be able to stay home with your children. It really, really is. And I do certainly acknowledge that. But not everybody has that choice or that opportunity. So it's neat that you recognize that.
I have to share something that my 9-year-old told me last week, though. He's a very intelligent child. He's above his grade level in most of the subjects. And, you know, he asks us all the time, well, what do you think I should be when I grow up? And you know, we've really tried to be open-minded and just, you know, whatever you're really interested in, you know, we're going to support you. And he does. He has a lot of opportunities with just a lot of things come easy to him. And so he said, well, what do you think I should be when I grow up, Mom? I said again, you know, well, whatever you want to do, Wyatt, we're going to support you. And he says, well, I just want to make enough money so that my wife doesn't have to work as hard as you do.
Oh,
I thought, good answer. Oh, maybe I'm not painting the right picture. So I, you know, I had to explain to him that, oh, you dear child, this is a choice. And I love to work hard. I've always enjoyed working hard and this type of work. I've always been an outside person and mm-hmm. somebody that loves animals. So, you know, in a way we got to be careful too, because we don't want to give them that impression that,
right,
that we are working too hard. But so it's an interesting balance.
It is. Well, it sounds to me like it's a great setup for your next song, because it sounds like your whole family rides for the brand, it sounds like. So you want to tell us about this song?
I will. And Jeff's not here, so I can pick on him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Several years ago when we started for this company we work for now, we were working on a feedlot. And anybody that's worked on a feedlot knows that there's some pretty long, long days. And it had been one of those weeks where, you know, he was gone at 4 a.m, shipping a lot of the cows out, and he was coming home really late. And so one evening he came home and he said, honey, why don't you go ahead and find a babysitter and get cleaned up, and I'll be back. We're going to go on a date. And, oh, I was excited. And it was a big deal. I just had two at the time. Big deal to get cleaned up, you know. get presentable, and so I did. I got all cleaned up and got a babysitter, and I remember sitting there and just waiting, and that's something that you do a lot. I figured that out now, but mm-hmm. I was fuming. I was so mad, just really upset that, you know, I'd gone through all this trouble, and here I was just waiting. And it's a good thing he didn't come home at that time. But as I sit there waiting, you know, my thought process started to change a little bit about the lifestyle that we lived and who I was really married to. And, mm-hmm. you know, those core values that he had and just what kind of man he was. And how many men out there work that way and ride for the brand for their family. And so I, mm-hmm. instead of getting all mad, we didn't go on the date. He didn't get home till pretty late, but I wrote this song that night, and it's pretty special. It's a pretty special song.
And you looked pretty, and I bet you looked pretty doggone good writing it, because you were all cleaned up, ready for a date.
And only for me to see. That's right. Yep.
Well, let's listen to Rides for the Brand.
I know what it's like to be wife and lover to a cowboy. Oh, I wait all day for the sun to set, but that don't mean work is over yet. He's always got more work to do, more fence to ride or cows to moo. But I don't mind waiting on my cowboy, 'cause he rides for the brand, and he rides for the brand. don't understand. Life and the lover to a cowboy. What it is about this barren land, or my cowboy's calloused hands, that's gone me by the heartstrings, so I never wanna leave. I guess they'll never love the cowboy, 'cause he rides for the brand, and he rides for me. Everything he does wholeheartedly, put on me, 'cause he rides for the brand. So I will follow him down any trail he's on, wherever it might lead. 'Cause those hard-working hands got a hold on me.
Love that song. That's a good one.
Thank you. It's special to all those men, all those people that write for the brand.
I bet. And I bet it's especially special to your husband, since you could have gotten really angry with him and instead you write him this great song. So I think he's got to be happy about that.
That's right. He says he's still waiting to meet this man that I write all these songs about.
Typical cowboy. It's pretty humble, too, sounds like.
Oh, he is. He is. That's the coolest.
Well, you have a very full life with your children and the ranching. And, I mean, ranching alone is demanding. You add in the children, and that makes it even more demanding. And you're very obviously committed to all of that. So tell us how this transition into Western music and that crazy world of on the road and travel and all of that, tell us how that came about.
Well, I'm still asking myself how this all happened. But, you know, it's one of those things. I really do feel like there was some guidance to me doing this. Not only is this an important thing for our family and for myself and to be able to express myself through the music, but we're living in a lifestyle where these traditions and these values, not everybody has a chance to live this way. And so there were many times that, you know, we'd be doing something and I'd think, gosh, I wish I could share this. I wish I could share this moment, you know, not everything, but maybe just this moment. And so to be able to write that and then feel that there is a spirit in music. And I know that you know this, Belinda. There is a very strong spirit in music and such an opportunity to share that through these songs. And so back in 2010, collaboration of songs that I've been working on and you know, just over the years, and we had known Bryn Hill since I was probably 15. I remember my sister was trying out for Miss Rodeo Utah, and at their coronation ball, Bryn was the entertainment. And just that was our first experience with, you know, with the cowboy western, knowing somebody in that genre. And Bryn has just stayed a good friend. I believe that was back in 1996 when we first met Bryn. And so I had sent Bryn an email and just kind of shared with him some thoughts I was having. You know, I had these songs and I didn't really know what to do with them, but I knew that I wanted to be able to get them out there and share them a little bit. And he was so supportive and he sent me an email back and he said, I'm going to be very honest with you. You know, I'll listen to them and I'm going to be brutally honest and tell you whether or not I think you should pursue this. And that, I appreciated that very much. And so I went ahead and sent Bren just a real rough copy of a few songs, and he sent me an email back, and he said, let's do this, and you know, I'm behind you 100%, and that's the kind of friend that he has been. He's just been supportive. He helped me produce that first CD, helped me just, you know, went through the whole process. This is what you need to do here, and this is what you need to do there, and just kind of got me on that right trail. And it has just kind of taken off on its own little journey and pulled us all along. And what's great about it is, as busy as we are and with the kids and the ranching, and it all plays in together. Mm-hmm. We can have the most horrendous day, kind of like the last couple of weeks, where we're so tired and worn out, and bless these kids' hearts, you know, they have just, our nine-year-old, he gets up in the morning and he rides out with his dad, and the two little guys, depending on what we're doing, they'll usually hop in the car, and we'll, this little Jeep Cherokee, we call it the cabin wagon, because you can fit about six baby calves back there if you need to. Mm-hmm. But we'll take mineral out and move solars, and, you know, they're such a big part of this that by the end of those long days and you're so tired, that's when the inspiration comes, for the most part, of, okay,
wow.
You know, like Gail Steiger says, just maybe a moment in time that day was everything right, but, you know, that's what we lived for, are just those moments.
And those moments that are perfect.
Mm-hmm. That's right, and they, you know, life's not about having perfect moments all the time, and I think if we did, we wouldn't appreciate them as much. I mean, there's times in everybody's life that you're kind of down deep in those valleys and you can't see what's ahead of you. And until you kind of climb and rise above that, and you can look out. And for example, we live in these sand hills, and every time I tell people we're in Nebraska now, they say, oh, you flatlander. And I think, well, you need to come visit the sand hills, because there is nothing flat about it. But, you know, we climbed these sand hills last week moving cows, and when you get to some of these taller hills, you can just see forever. And, you know, you think that's kind of how life is sometimes, is you get down in these little bowls and get discouraged because the cows don't want to move up over the top of them, you know, and you finally get to that top and think, oh, we did it and here we are, you know, so.
Yes.
There's
and look at the view.
Yeah, and look at the view. That's right.
Yes.
Speaking of that, I reached for my cell phone to take a picture, and my cell phone was dead, of course. And I thought, you know, here we are looking at something that should be on a movie screen, or, you know, a Charlie Russell painting, or, and I am the only one that's seeing this right now. I think that's kind of what it's about, to be able to get out there and write and share. And even the ones you're not writing, I mean, there are so many wonderful songs about these moments, you know, that we're just perpetuating these feelings and these experiences.
Well, your songwriting is really coming along. Obviously, you just had a great song that was voted as the top song in Western music. So you Song of the Year, that's exciting. I got to be there when you got that award, and I was very excited for you. When you weren't there, you were ranching. Kristen Harris accepted it for you. So I'm like, oh, Trinity needed to be here.
Oh, I know. And I'll tell you what, here is the black and white of the life that we live. That day, we were processing cows, and it was just freezing cold and blizzard. And I remember sitting there thinking and looking at my clock the same time that the award show was happening and thinking, I could be sitting in the chemo theater in Albuquerque, all dolled up and you know, and here I am freezing cold. And but Kristen was just a sweetheart for doing that, and she did such a good job playing that song. I got to see a video of it, and and what an honor. What an honor. And Blaine McIntyre,
well, you were,
who was also a
yes,
a co-writer on that song. You know, I just, it was neat that, that everybody got to be involved.
It was, it was excellent. And you were missed not only at the award show, but you're one of my favorites around the jam circles. And so you, you have to be there next year. Your husband's going to have to adjust. Just working tabs. He's gonna have to. He's gonna have to work that around Albuquerque. So,
you know, that's been a struggle with this most recent move to Nebraska, and some exciting news that I get to share now. We are moving back to Wyoming to the Handcart Ranch next spring.
Good.
We'll be running that as our with just our family, and I am so excited about that. We love Nebraska, but the schedule is so different. You know, they wean their calves at different times and ship things out a lot later, and so it's hard to just juggle everything, but we do our best. Yes. We're doing our best.
Well, we're thrilled for the great news. Congratulations, and let's listen to the award-winning Cowboy Hat.
About a good riding spade with pony, and that's what makes my world go round. I don't care about what some folks talk about. No, my world is smaller than all that. I live a simple life, work hard and wear a cowboy hat. A mirror image looking back at you. Eyes are the window to the soul. In the eye of the horse you will find your own. Just live a simple life, work hard and wear a cowboy hat. It's easier said than done, but that's how the West was won. Living off the folklore of the old. It's tested, it's tried and true, it'll work best for me and you. Some call it the cowboy code. Just live a simple life, work hard and wear a cowboy hat. Crazy and things look a little hazy. Not sure exactly how you feel. Just jump up on that silky hide. Take yourself a little ride. Put in perspective what is real.
Be faithful to the brand. Always ride with grit and sand.
Keeping your eye on the trail. Just live a simple life. Work hard and wear a cowboy hat. Just live a simple life. Work hard and wear a cowboy
hat. Oh, congratulations. That's a great song, Trinity. So proud for you. It's wonderful.
Thank you, Belinda. Thank you. You know what's neat? You have been my idol and inspiration for so long. And just to be your friend and to be able to be on your show means so much to me. Thank you.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's so sweet. You're so sweet. Thank you so much. Oh, gosh. You got me all flustered.
I'm sorry, dang it.
Oh, gosh. Well, I tell you what, I know that the people that are listening to this show are fortunate to catch this little piece of your life and hear your music. I know they're going to want to get a hold of you and get some of your music and hopefully get you booked into some of their venues or to build private things that they might have going on. So how can people get a hold of you, Trinity?
Best way probably is to go to my website. It's www.trinityseely.com, and there's all sorts of stuff on there. There's a bio and music you can listen to, a contact page, and that's probably the best way to go ahead and get a hold of me. Our phones don't work out there, so phones kind of aren't an option most of the time, as you know.
Yes, I do know. And Seely is spelled S-E-E-L-Y. So TrinitySeely.com. You can get a hold of Trinity and get a hold of some of her
And we're in the process of recording another CD, which we're super excited about. So hopefully that'll be
sure. There are good people there. I've done that house, and it is a wonderful venue and great people. They're gonna love you, and you're gonna love them. It's gonna be great.
I'm excited. It'll be a fun weekend.
It will. So we're gonna close with your song Heavenly Brand. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, you mentioned a word that described my husband to a T. He is so humble, and you know there's so many times in our lives when we receive these blessings, and I think that you know for our family especially, it's so important to give credit where credit's due, and everything we have, you know, comes from our wonderful, loving Heavenly Father. And my husband is a very good reminder of that, of, you know, where it all comes from and whose brand he really writes for. And so, you know, I thought this is a song that describes him and many other of these wonderful men that, you know, ride for the Heavenly Brand. So and kind of talks a little bit about that stewardship as well, being a steward. So this song means a lot to me and the chance to kind of bear that testimony that I have of that relationship with my Heavenly Father and the blessings that He's given us.
Well, I think it's wonderful, and this is a great song, and Lord bless you. Keep you safe when you're on the road. And let's just close out our piece here with Trinity with her wonderful song, Heavenly Brand.
He saddles up his favorite bay. They ride out in the gray light of day. He gets to thinking of the life that he's lived, the outfits he's worked, his wife and his kids, and he thanks God for all that he has. His glory be thine to my heavenly dad. All that I am under this cowboy hat, I owe it to thee in the heaven. He gets to working and gathering strays. The frost's in the air and they're counting the days. It's been a dry year and they're praying for snow. But for now they'll graze in the valley below. Cowboy hat, I owe it to thee and the heavenly brand. Sometimes he worries about the living, providing the things that they need. 'Cause he's just one man with two hard-worn hands and a faith in things he can't see. steward o'er the land. Oh, a cowboy is he. It's not always easy, but who said it should be? On mornings like this, when the chill hits the bone, and all of the memories come flooding back home. And he'll thank God for all that he has. His glory be thine to my heavenly dad. All that I am under this cowboy hat, I owe it to thee. Heavenly friend, owe it to thee in the heavenly friend.
Trouble surrounds you, when evil comes, the body grows weak, the spirit grows numb, these things beset you, he doesn't forget. A dove, on the wings of a snow white dove, he sends his pure sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. Well, Noah's adrift on flood many days, search for land in various ways. Well, troubles he had some, but he was never forgotten. God sent down his love on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow white dove, he sends his pure sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. Well, Jesus went down to river that day, and he was baptized in the usual way, and when it was done, God blessed his son and sent him his love on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow white dove, he sends his pure sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow white dove.
Oh my gosh, I am actually recording the show from the hills in New Mexico, and just
I kind of went away there for a minute. So we came back again. I just wanted to close with some thoughts. And I'm always so inspired by Trinity, especially with the various pieces of her life she juggles. And she seems to do it all so well. And I have no doubt that she has her struggles and challenges like the rest of us. But from what I can see, she is motivated by love. She's the epitome of grace and focus and quiet persistence in all that she does. And I was thinking about her and her life, and it really brought Proverbs 31 to mind, which is especially the verses 10 through 31, which are a beautiful description of a godly woman and a cherished wife. And it's filled with specific direction and wisdom and guidance. And I'll not read all 31 verses, but I picked out a few of them that I think are really, really pretty wonderful. And I paraphrased them a little bit here. A wife of noble character is worth far more than rubies, and her husband has full confidence in her, and she brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She gets up in the wee hours of the morning to take care of her family. She is strong and sets about her work vigorously. She's clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue, and she watches over the affairs of her household and is not idle. Her children call her blessed. Her husband praises her. And I really like this one. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Now, to me, these scriptures can be a bit misconstrued because on the surface, they seem to be describing a perfect woman. And the lady they describe is pretty doggone perfect, I have to say. But attaining perfection is not only daunting, it is impossible. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that we all sin and fall short of the glory of the Lord. So man or woman, none of us are perfect, nor can we be. We all have areas of our lives that seem to be a constant challenge. For me, the beauty of these scriptures lie in that they give us goals to strive for and a roadmap to get there. So man or woman, we are called to strive to be of noble character, to do no harm, but bring goodness into the lives of those around us, to work hard and diligently with eagerness and a smile, and not to give in to idleness, to be self-sacrificing when we're taking care of our families and make sure their needs are provided for, to be careful and wise in business, to be kind to those in need, to be filled with dignity and strength, and if you are married, to be a true helpmate and source of pride to our spouses, to fill your life with joy and laughter, to speak wisdom and faithful instructions, but most of all, to adhere to Matthew 22:37, where Jesus instructs us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Well, that's our show for today. I'm so thankful that y'all could join us. Thank you for giving us the gift of your time. Thank you again to our very special guest, Trinity Seeley, for sharing a bit of her life and her heart with us today. And of course, always a huge thank you to my amazing producer, Gary Holt, for all he does behind the scenes to make this show happen. And please remember, all the fabulous shows on Equestrian Legacy Radio are archived for you to listen to at your convenience. And we even have a handy dandy little mobile app that you can download to take us with you on the go. If you enjoy our shows, please like us on Facebook and tell your friends about us. So until next week, may all your trails be blessed.
I'm just about as ceased as I want to be, riding up upon the lights of old Laramie. Cheyenne and Denver down this troubled road, just about as east as I want to go. But as long as I'm alive, a traveler I'll be, always running down the lyrics to a melody, trying to calm the racing of my pacing heart, not quite sure where to end it or where to start. If I could run like the ponies, I would fly away, and I could be back home by the end of the day. In the arms of the one I love, riding far and wide and riding high above. Well, I'm just about as west as I want to go. I can see those rolling sisters and and the fallen snow. Lyman and Fort Bridger's all I need to know, 'cause I'm just about as west as I wanna go. And I'm counting out these white lines passing one by one, thinking of my kids at home and the one I love. My arms are aching for someone to hold, so I'm just about as west as I want to go. If I could run like the ponies, I would fly away, and I could be back home by the end of the day. I'll turn this car around and I'll head her back. I can see those granite peaks and they're smiling back, welcoming me home into her wild west. In the great state of Wyoming I have come to rest, just to ride out in the morning, feel the sun smiling on me, hear the magpie calling, begging for retreat. Feel the wind blowing, soft or sweet or bitter cold. I have found my home in the old Wyoming. Yes, I have found my home in the old.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, two self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge, Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.